What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of She or They with Kittens. I'm Kittens, and this is a show for people who transcend identity expectations. What does that mean exactly? It can mean, I guess, a lot of things, but for me, it's about people who are living life or questioning things outside of the expectations that society, their life, their parents, their culture, their surroundings, anything like that, any of those expectations that are set, this is for people that kind of don't really vibe with the expectations and you just want a little bit more out of life, or you want to do something that's maybe not expected of you. So this is a show for those people. This might be for you, but today I'm really excited because we are going to talk about choices. And then I also found a tweet from somebody that I thought was really, really cool. So I'm going to go through that. But before we get into everything today, please make sure you like and subscribe and follow and do all the things. You can also go to sheherthey.com to sign up for the mailing list, which, like, please do that, because then I can just email you when new episodes come out and you don't have to, like, worry about, oh my God, did I miss it? Ugh, can you do an episode about this? Like, no, you won't miss it because it's on the newsletter. And then you get to find out about things before everybody else, which is really cute. So go do that. You can also go to Instagram at SheHerThey or at I Am Kittens to find me. And if you have any questions, suggestions, topics, advice bits that you would like me to explore, expand on in a solo episode, go ahead and email me hello@iamkittens.com. And I'll hit you back, and we'll talk about things here, perhaps, probably. But anyways, let's just get into today's episode. So I wanted to talk about choices, and this is coming up because I had a question from somebody literally like right before I hopped on here. I was going to talk about something completely different this week, but somebody, in a very not offensive way, was asking me about choices and lifestyle choices specifically. She was asking, like, had you ever been with a man? And, like, did you decide to be gay? Or, like, it was one of those questions, like, is you being gay a choice? That thing. And she didn't mean it in a problematic way. It was just kind of, I guess, phrased in a way that for some people can be problematic or, like, upsetting. But it got me thinking, and I feel like that's a really common question that people get, and not just with identity stuff, not just with gender or sexuality or literally any like lifestyle choice. It's always like, did you decide to do this? Or like, why did you make this choice? And it's usually asked of people who are doing something that is outside the norm. They're doing something that was not expected of them, whether it's cutting their hair in a different way and maybe dressing in a more alternative fashion, or somebody who is, I don't know, just of any other identity. Maybe they're trans, maybe they're non-binary, maybe they're queer. I just feel like it's a question that gets asked a lot. Why is this your choice? Why did you choose this? And often when people ask that question, whether they mean to be offensive or upsetting or not, a lot of times it's parents asking this, I feel like, but the question that they're asking is, why are you choosing this life that is not quote unquote normal, that is maybe making me uncomfortable or going to make other people uncomfortable? Why are you choosing this? Why did you choose to be this? And the question is more, why did you choose to be this? Why are you choosing to be this person versus choosing to live your life this way? And I think that's where the question can be really misdirected and the intent can be really misdirected. Because when it comes to choice, and I've said this so many times, and I kind of realized it too when I was going through my own like coming out journey, and I had people asking me like, why are you choosing this? Why are you choosing to be gay, for example? And I realized the choice isn't whether to be or not to be yourself. The choice isn't whether I should be queer or I should be trans or I should be, I don't know, a creative person, or I should be a musician, or I should be, like, the question isn't, should I choose to be who I am? It's, should I choose to follow the path that is authentic to me, that gives me the best chance at fulfillment and joy in life? Or do I choose to completely ignore who I am, my likes, my needs, my passions, my identity? Do I choose to ignore that? Potentially be miserable, most likely. Or lie to myself, lie to others to make people more comfortable? That's one of the choices. Or the choice is to find ways to settle somewhere in between, where you're maybe not fully going after the things in life that fulfill you or align with, like, this is going to sound corny, but like your soul's purpose, like who you really are inside. Maybe you're meant to be a singer, musician, or a painter, or a dancer, or an inventor, or scientist, whatever. You're meant to be something because it's so it brings you so much joy and you're so passionate about it. But you're like, I don't know. This is going to be harder, or my parents or my friends are going to laugh at me, or I'm not going to be supported in this. And so you make a choice that's a little safer, but it means you're settling in a way. And for some people, that's fine. You know, settling can bring safety. It can bring security. There's perks to settling. But those are the choices that we make. We make the choices on how we want to live our life, but the choice isn't who we are. We already are who we are inside. We can't change that. We can choose if we want to respect and nurture that or not. And that's just really something that I think people should ask back. Like if you're telling your parents, go to music school instead of going to school to be an accountant, or somebody's coming out and they're like, this is who I am. And I love somebody who is also queer or of the same gender, whatever. And the parents are like, why are you choosing this? Why can't you just choose to be normal? Why can't you just be normal? Why are you choosing to be gay? Whatever. Why are you choosing to be a creative? And my suggestion to everybody who's ever faced with something like this is asking the person the real question. These are my choices. I can choose to be happy, fulfilled, and have a chance at joy in this crazy ass world and this crazy ass life. Or I can choose to shrink myself and be this other thing that I'm not because it makes you more comfortable. What choice would you like me to make? And I guarantee you, almost every time if you ask somebody that, especially if it's somebody who loves you or is supposed to love you, they're going to be stumped with that one, because it really makes people face their own selfish expectations that they have of others. It makes them admit, I want you to make yourself uncomfortable so I can feel better. I want you to choose to mask who you are so that I can be more comfortable, so that society can be more comfortable. And when you ask somebody to do that, or when you just you hold up that mirror to them by asking them that, so that they can really see how insane of a request that is, even if it doesn't immediately change how they are operating or responding or accepting or encouraging or whatever, even if it doesn't immediately change that, it gives them pause. It makes them pause and think, God, am I really asking this of my child, of my loved one, of this human being? Am I asking that of them? And as much as we'd like to make people progress faster and have them accept us immediately and have them encourage us immediately and have them be like, yes, I love who you are, whatever that is. I mean, that's the dream. But realistically, a lot of people aren't there from the jump. And it takes some hand-holding. It takes some time to help them unlearn and help them see people as individuals who deserve a chance at fulfillment and joy in this life. Because we are so wrapped up in ourselves. We're wrapped up in how we're seen, how we're perceived, what value we think that that adds. You know, if my kid looks this way and does these things and has this job and has this major and is, you know, normal and successful in these expected traditional societal ways, then people are like, okay, well, that looks good for me. If my kid, my loved one, my friend, whatever, is in this nice little mold, in this nice little trophy box, then that makes me look good. And you have to just kind of force them to step outside of that. And that takes time. And that takes gentle nudges, sometimes a bit less gentle than others, but it takes nudging. And I feel like people don't talk about that as much. We're not really like, we're not given the tiny baby steps that are necessary to push people towards growth, towards evolving, towards empathy and compassion. Like, that's not a default setting in a lot of people. And even if it is, like, society's kind of taught us to not do that, to just think about ourselves and the, you know, everything that comes with that. But I encourage you to ask people, if anyone's giving you shit about who you are and what you want to do with your life and the choices you make, or the choices of you making of who you are, which, like, again, you are who you are. There's nothing wrong with that. Ask them, what choice do you want me to make? To be happy or miserable? To lie or be authentic? What would make you more comfortable? Would you be able to sleep at night if you knew I was lying and miserable? And when you make them actually face that, when you make them really pause and acknowledge that they're being selfish and insane, it's a baby step. It's a baby step at somebody actually coming around and learning and caring, learning to be compassionate. It helps them see that everybody deserves a chance at fulfillment and happiness in life, and that it's not all about them, that they're being selfish. So ask them, what choice do you want me to make? All right, moving on now. I came across this tweet from somebody named Kenjin Summers, and he said, let me get it out to read it. He said, I meditated for 2,000 days straight. My teacher was the man who taught Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Here's what I learned. So he's referencing somebody named George T. Mumford, who wrote two books, one called The Mindful Athlete, and another one that I guess just came out this year called Unlocked, Embrace Your Inner Greatness, Find the Flow, and Discover Success. So I'm guessing he was, you know, this dude that helped major athletes just kind of harness their inner mindfulness and learn to meditate, which is not always easy, obviously. Meditating is so hard, and it takes a lot of practice. But there's some little tips here of things he learned from this genius. Okay, that's bold. I don't know if he's a genius, but they were good tips, so let's go through them. Number one, very simple. Get to know yourself. There's no greater knowledge you can possess. That it's true. And honestly, I feel like we all think we know ourselves. We have a general idea of who we are. But unless you actually like sit down and really dig in constantly to who you are, because you're constantly evolving, you can get swept up. You can go all kinds of weird ways in life. And then all of a sudden you're like, what am I doing? I'm not happy. How did I get here? So that's a good one. I love journaling for that reason, honestly. I'm always like checking in with myself every few months. Like, what path am I going down? Why? Is it bringing me fulfillment? Where do I want to go with this? Is this going to make me feel happy? I don't know. You just have to check in with yourself. So get to know yourself. 2, meditation is not a finite game with winners and losers. It's an infinite game with players. Be a player. That's very true. Because meditating is like, it's hard, but you can't be like a pro meditator. You can just try. And some people will have an easier time than others. But just showing up and trying and working on it is already helpful. Even if you do like 2 minutes of it, that's helpful. And I love something where I don't have to worry about losing or being bad at it. You are the way you are, and you show up the way you show up every time. And that's enough. And that's worth giving yourself a pat on the back. 3, you have more to unlearn than you have to learn. And that shit hits home so hard to me. And I'm the biggest, like, I don't know, advocate of unlearning and evolving. And I think so many people, especially like older people in our lives, and this is probably just what happens as we age, but we get to this point, or a lot of people, I can't say we, a lot of people get to this point where they think they know it all. I know who I am. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I know what's this. I know what's that. And they just like stop even questioning. They stop questioning and learning and unlearning and consistently like refreshing their knowledge. And that is so bad, because life is always changing. The world is always changing. People are always changing. You're always changing. Like, you change every day to some degree. And maybe you change back and forth between versions, whatever it is. There's always something to unlearn and refresh and adjust, but you have to be open to that. And so many people are scared of admitting that they don't know things, which is so unfortunate, because I think there's so much more power, and it's so much more respectable and impressive and intelligent to me when people admit like, I don't know. I don't know this thing, but I want to know about it. Or I could know more. I'm going to go seek more information. I'm going to go talk to more people. I'm going to explore more. I'm going to read more. I'm going to try more. Whatever it is, just it's okay to not know things. And it's okay to admit that the things you do know are maybe outdated or obsolete or can be improved upon. I don't know. I don't know why people have so much trouble with that. I'll never get it. I'm always chasing things. I'm like, what more can I know about myself, about literally anything? I'm like, how much more can I learn? Or what's the most up-to-date thing? Let me get the newest version. Let me get the most, I don't know, like, language is always changing, especially when I was starting the show. I was so nervous about getting verbiage wrong, because pronouns and labels and identity explanations were constantly changing. And I was like, oh my God, what if I do an interview with somebody and then like a week later, the language we use to describe their identity or whatever, even if it's what they identified as, maybe the language or the definition changed. And then, oh my God, I'm going to look like an asshole. But then I realized it's not about like, did I know everything? And let me make sure I know everything before I move forward. You can know everything about something right now, but it's probably going to evolve. And that's okay, as long as your intention is to unlearn and relearn and adjust and be respectful of information, then you're not doing anything wrong. That's why I mean, if you look in the bio of like any of these episodes, I always have a disclaimer, and I put it in there in the beginning because I was so like, oh my God, I'm scared I'm going to say something wrong. But the disclaimer is basically like, language around identity is constantly evolving. Just know this space is always meant to be safe and respectful of people's identities and always be on top of it as things evolve, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, unlearning. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, the next one. Peace is the most expensive thing you cannot buy. That is so damn true. I think we all know that. We've seen the most wealthy people in the world be the most miserable. And that is so telling. Like, you have people who have access to everything in the world, all the money, all the resources, being so empty and sad. And then you have people like Buddhist monks who are like chilling with nothing and they are so at peace. And I think that's beautiful. I love that. I love that peace is accessible and it can be accessible to anybody. I really like this one because it's all about perspective and reframing. But it's, you do not have to do anything. You get to do something. And I think that is such a good one because I know I was actually talking to a friend and it was a sad story. She had lost somebody in her life who was struggling with some heavy difficulties, some heavy, you know, mental health addiction stuff. And she lost that person, which is so sad. But she was referencing people who were talking about how difficult it is dealing with a loved one who has addiction. And she was like, you get to fight every day. You get to fight for this person every day because they're here. You have the chance to fight for them, to support them, to be in their journey. You get the chance to do that. And that's so valuable. And you don't realize that you have that opportunity until you don't. And it really is a perspective shift every day. Like, and this, I guess, also ties into gratitude, just being aware of the opportunities you have, no matter how simple they are. If you have to like do some, maybe you have some crazy diet because your health is like messed up or something and you can only eat like really simple foods, whatever. You get the chance to cook for yourself. You get the chance to support your body. You get the chance to do things that are going to improve your health. You get the opportunity to do that. There's a lot of people that don't have that choice. You know, that's a random example, but like, it's the reframing thing. And I like that. I like that you can just shift the lens you're looking at things through. People pleasing is not a service. It serves your ego by attempting to control what others think about you. Yikes. That was me for a long time. I mean, a lot of us are, you know, people pleasers because we want to make everybody around us happy. But when we're doing that, we're actually ignoring what's maybe right for us or what's right in a situation. We just want to make others comfortable or happier. But when you are doing that, you're like ignoring what's right, ignoring what you need or want because you want people to look at you a certain way. You want people to think about you a certain way. So you're actually being really manipulative. And that's kind of funky. You know, like manipulation isn't good. And we think because we're prioritizing people's needs or wants or whatever that we're being great people, but we're actually being manipulative and that's not cute. Next one, no one thinks about you more than you do. And what others think about you is none of your business. Yeah. That's easier said than done. I mean, we're always thinking about, I can't say we, I know I and a lot of people, our insecurities or fears or anxieties lie in what people think about us. Like, oh my God, what, even in a small moment, maybe you're at, I don't know, a party. Like, oh my God, what are people thinking about me? What am I acting weird right now? Do they think I look cool? Do they like what I'm wearing? Do they think I'm weird? Do I look uncomfortable? Are they going to want to talk to me? It's just like all these things that everyone's thinking. And I started going, I mean, when I started going out because I had to for like DJing and work growing up, I would always get like that because I was very socially anxious and just awkward. And one thing that started helping me was every time I'd start thinking that, I would actually look at one person at a time. Like, I wonder what they're thinking right now, because they're probably doing the exact same thing I'm doing right now. They're wondering, did I wear the right thing? Do I look okay in this? Do I look weird? Am I being weird right now? Just, you know, am I doing too much? Am I doing too little? Like people are so wrapped up in themselves that it's kind of like, just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. If you listen to music, pause multitasking, close your eyes, and smile. This can be the best beginner guide to meditation. That's a good one. I think that's a really good one. I've been meditating for a long time, so I'm able to jump in and out of like deep meditation. But sometimes just having one thing to focus on is what really helps if you want to get into meditation. But listening to music is that one thing sometimes. That's actually what helps me when I'm DJing and I'm in like a big crowd and I'm getting scared. I crank my music up so loud that I can't even acknowledge that anything else in the room exists. And it helps you really be present and kind of center yourself. So learning to focus on one thing, even if it's just music that you're listening to, kind of gives you the same effects of meditation. What else do we have here? Success is enjoying the progress you're making by being at peace with the process you are undertaking. That sounds like some Dr. Seuss shit right there. I'm sorry. That is so rhymey, but I like it. That's such a good one. I feel like people really, I say people a lot. I'm referencing like all of humankind, but I'm talking about myself if you haven't caught on to that. But so often I feel this way. Again, I know a lot of other people do as well. There isn't ever a level of success you reach where you're just like, yep, I made it. This is it. I'm done. I've made it and I'm happy and this is success and this is what it looks like. Because people are constantly chasing the next thing. You reach one level and you're like, okay, what's next? What's next? Where's my next goal? And the finish line to success just keeps moving like forever. So you have to redefine what success is. It's not one place you get to. It's not this finish line. It's the journey. It's the progress. It's the showing up. It's the having the opportunity to do things that make you happy and fulfilled. It's the option to do things that really bring you joy in life. That to me is success. Having the option to be at peace and fulfilled, that is what success is. And it's not one place. And finally, practice makes progress. So reject perfection. I am master perfectionist psycho, and I have to do this. I have to remind myself every single day that just trying something and maybe getting a little better each time, progressing even just like the teeny tiniest bit, is worth it. Because you're never going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Oh my God. Like, no one is perfect. You're never going to be perfect. So stop trying to be perfect, but celebrate those moments of progress. Because that, like, those are the things that we should strive for. It's like the little progress. You got to give yourself the high fives and those tiny baby steps so you can keep taking baby steps. And then you can baby step your way to your idea of success. Not that it's a finish line. Anyways, that was a nice long little list, which I hope was valuable to you as it was to me. I like Twitter. I know people hate on Twitter a lot, but I find some good little jewels, some little nuggets on there that can be pretty inspiring and pretty helpful and pretty funny. This is not a funny one, but I do like the funny stuff on Twitter. But anyways, I'm rambling now, so let's wrap it up. That was the show. That was the end. I never know how to finish these things unless I'm with a person where I just say goodbye. So I guess we'll wrap this up here. I will see you guys next week. I can't say I'll hear you next week, but you'll hear me next week. And next week I've got another special guest. We'll continue to have some cool people on here. And we'll continue to have me on here rambling to myself in here for God knows how long. Still never stops feeling weird to just be talking alone at a camera. All right. I'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.